I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Lord, I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory.
Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. High and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory.
Thank you, Lord.
Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. You are holy, holy, holy.
Yes, you're
holy, holy, holy. I want to see you.
Amen. Good to be in the house of the Lord again. Amen. Good to have each and every one of you here that are here. The ones out in the parking lot, the faithful. Make a few announcements here before we get started. Number one, Brother Bob will be speaking Wednesday night, so let's pray for him. Also remember Brother Jewel Forney. He is recovering there in Charlotte, and with this coronavirus and all this stuff, he's up there by himself. Sister Vanessa can't be with him, or the girls, or his son. They can't be with him, so they're FaceTiming with him, and that's about it. So we just need to pray that that the Lord will send his blessings up there with Brother Jewel. I don't like what the devil's doing to all these preachers around the message. I don't like that. I don't like it at all. So we need to strive more and more to be able to pray for those ones, because if Satan knows if he can get the ministry, then he's got the people. So we just pray that, and the ones he's been picking on are the fighters. They're the ones that'll fight him, Brother Donnie, Brother Ron Spencer, Brother Homer, different ones, you know. So we pray that God will just restore them to good health. Also, it was clear in the text message, but maybe all of you didn't get the text message. Was, do not send tithe money to the church address. That was not on the tithe list, so it really shouldn't have been done, but some people are doing that. But please, the church does not have a P.O. box or a mailbox. I just happen to be friends with a guy in Lula that keeps telling me that there's checks popping up there, and that's a Lula. This is a Lula address. So you need to send your tithe checks to Brother Terrence Dale's address, and I'm not going to announce it online. You can get it somehow, somewhere. It's on the text message. It's on your list of church people addresses. So send the tithe money to Brother Terrence Dale's address in Gillsville, Georgia. Okay? Because we don't want to mix up, and we know that if you send it and they have to send it back, we call it return to sender or insufficient address or whatever it is. It has to go back to North Metro, and then North Metro has to send it sometimes. But Terrence said he got most of it, right? He got most of it. And I had one that was delivered to me at my house because I knew the man, and then we took it to Terrence's house. So just remember that. Do not send tithe to the church address. We have no we have a physical address. Everybody has to have a physical address because of 911. But you don't have to have a mailbox or a P.O. box number. So, and we do not here at the church. So send them to Brother Terrence. Also, I know there's not many here today that was here this morning, but I want to make an announcement. If you're not going to be at both services, please let me know. Because if you're not, then I can find somebody else to take your place that wants to come. And if they want to come both services, I may just cancel you out and let the people that's come in both services, because the people that want to be here want to be here. And not just to say, well, I'm coming for a service Sunday morning and I'm going back home. Church hadn't changed.
Right.
We're required to be at two services on Sunday. Some people maybe make their own rules, but not to be mean. I just want to tell you, if you're not going to be here two services, let me know.
Right.
Cause I can have somebody else come in. Brother Danny Fountain, some of the different ones that wants to come, they couldn't come because I thought you were going to be here both services. So if you're not going to be here both services, you need to let me know.
Amen.
I don't need an explanation because I kind of figure out what it is anyway. So just to be real frank with you. But whatever situation you got, if the way we're running it now, please let me know.
Amen.
If you're not going to be. And I'll get somebody else. And that's what some other churches are doing. Half of the people are coming Sunday morning. Half of the people kind of coming Sunday afternoon. But our services are so close together till... the people that I usually try to ask are the ones that usually are here both services. So in these trying times, we have to be just a little bit different than we were before. But we try to get the people here as we can. If you'll notice what happened in that church, that's not Brother Fred Mullins' church. It's his brother's church. Okay, he's got a brother, Mullins. It's his church. Brother Joe had that on the text message, but then he called me later. Because it's not Brother Fred Mullins' church. It's another church. It's his brother's church. Charles, I think, Mullins is his name. But you see that it started and got into the women, to the sisters. That's why I wanted to make sure we don't have no sisters here. Just the Lord may have done that, but I just don't think that. I think the men need to be here. No reflect against, and we okayed it with Brother Dale, no reflect against the women at all. It's just that you're out there with your kids. Your kids are with other kids. This one's with this one. You got to go to the grocery store, and you're out there more than we are, and you're more susceptible to get it. But we need to pray for that church, because if it keeps happening back in churches again, they're gonna cut down on us getting together in big groups. So we just pray that the Lord will stay this thing again. I still pray every day, Lord, stay this thing. Get rid of it so we can get back. I mean, even if this is the end time, I'd like for us to all get back. You know, I'd like for us all get back together for a little while anyway.
Right,
and we need each other. We need to be together.
Right.
Calling, texting, Facebook, whatever you want to do. Doesn't matter, FaceTime. But just keep in touch with everybody. If you need anything, if you need anything, you need to let us know. I speak for Brother Dale myself. If you are in a need in this church and you're online or you're sitting here, you need to let the church know, because we're a family.
Amen.
We're a church family.
Right.
And we're in a position where we can help you a little bit if we have to. So right. we would not, Brother Dale is the most giving person I've ever known. So what's the difference now, you know? So when there's a real need there,
right.
We'd like to be able to help you fill it. So if you've got your Bibles, turn to the book of Galatians. We're in Journey of a Believer, part 8. And as I said before, I hope during this whole thing that you've took Abram out and put yourself in there, because we've become real personal with this guy named Abram and Abraham.
Right.
But you're the one that's, you know, it's good to see that journey, and it's good to read a story about, as Brother Tom Falbush always said, the old war stories in the Old Testament. Well, you know what? Those old war stories were actually happened, but we're having war stories now. Paul says we're not fighting against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers and spirits in high places, and that's what we're dealing with now. So we're going to take the spiritual part, because we can't all say, well, I walk just like Abram did, because that was 4,000 years ago. But as a type, we can see that did happen in his life, and that happens in a way in your life. Okay, I hope you're able to see that. So Galatians 3, verse 16, and we'll run through the stages. Now, it's no surprise, you know, that in this church that we teach definitely three stages of grace: justification, sanctification, baptism, and the Holy Ghost. But remember, to complete the full plan of redemption, there's six seals to complete that. But we're not going to get into that. We've already been into that a little while. But there is four stages. Because Joel tells us in the end time that I will restore the years that those four bugs eat down. Okay? It's good to have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but if you don't go on, you don't complete your four stages, which Brother Branham tells us that four death messengers or death bugs eat it down, and there has to be four life messengers to bring it back. Our four life stages, I will restore in four stages. So it has to be justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And Brother Branham tells us in one place, the Word, or adoption, or as Brother Dale's talking about, the Son of Man. And that's going on into the six seals, redemption. But in the four stages of redemption, we got to come to a place to where we're at the hear ye him. And Brother Branham said, hear ye them. So, okay, you come to that place of what we call now speaking condition. Amen. So Abraham did come to that, but he had to go through these three stages first. Everybody wants to jump from one all the way up to, you do that. And like Brother Brown said, power without character is satanic.
Right.
All right. So these characters that we're talking about, if you would have give Abram the power that God gave Abraham, if you would have give Abram, Isaac, at the first part of the journey, and then God tells him to go take him up on the mountain and kill him, he wouldn't have done it.
Right.
I'm just telling you, because you wouldn't either. You wouldn't know what to do with what God tells you to do at the beginning of your journey. But now as Abram went to Abraham, Abraham met God in human flesh. And then after that, there was a long 10 or 15 or 16 years that he grew with God. Then God told him, go take your son up there on the mountain and kill him. And that's what we're going to talk about today. So we're going to run through this real quick. Galatians 3, verse 16. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the day that you give us. We pray that you'd just be with us, take care of us. Be with the ones, Lord, that are that are sick, the ones that are dying from this virus. Lord, we pray again that you'll stay this thing, Father. And as Moses told Aaron, said, run through the crowd with a censer. Lord, with a censer. Lord, the baptism of the Holy Ghost is what we send out to the people, Lord, to keep them covered, especially the church there in Marion and all the churches, Lord, that anything has been given as sickness, Lord, we pray that you would just take care of that, Lord. We pray that you'd be with us here in the building, be with the ones outside in the parking lot. Just take care of each one, Lord. Your blessings have already been put out. I just pray that we reach and get them today, Father. Be with us, Lord. Take care of us. Lead us and guide us, Lord, in this service. In Jesus' name, amen. So now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. Now his seed, he saith not unto seeds as of many. I hope you see that. The promise was not made to Ishmael. Now there was a promise, but not the promise. Wasn't made to Ishmael or the other seven children that Abraham had with Keturah. That's just natural seed. But he says, and to thy seed, which puts it right back to spirituality, puts it right back to Christ.
Right.
So it was the spirit that was working in Abraham, the spirit that was working in Moses.
Right.
But now remember, that had to be just a type because Christ couldn't go inside of him.
Right. That's right.
He could anoint Abram. He could anoint Abraham. Brother Bram Stales, I think I got it here. We'll read where it said the same faith that Abram had, Abraham had to have. So he didn't lose his faith through the whole journey. And that's why the journey of a believer, you don't stop believing. You keep having faith all the way through for justification. How in the world can you know that your past sins were chopped off? Because you still remember them. Your neighbor might still remember them if he saw you. And the person you did it with definitely knows because they were there. But God don't. So I must have faith in that's part of my journey of justification, that I have faith that he's the justifier. And when he justifies you, that's it.
Amen.
And thus I say that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul. So in other words, what the law did was just kind of bring you under condemnation, but it didn't bring the promise.
Right.
All right. That it should make the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more promise.
Right.
What is a promise? A law is written. But a promise is grace. A promise is the unwritten part. Have we come to now the sealed? Brother Brown talks about the unwritten part of the Word of God. If you want to continue on up the revelation ladder, I always say, you're going up that revelation ladder. If inheritance be of the law, it is no more promise. But God gave it to Abraham by promise. You may be seated, the Lord at his blessing. To the reading of the Word. Now, Hebrews 6, verse 13. When God made promise to Abraham because he could swear by no greater, he swear by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. Now watch. And so, after he had patiently endured, like I said before, he did not give, he gave the promise to Abram, but now he didn't have the promised son at the beginning. He had 25 years he had to wait. And so after he had patiently endured, we patiently endured since the prophet in 1963 opened the seals and gave us the full revelation of the whole Bible. Everything was revealed under the seals. We've been now almost 60 years since that time. So God has been patient, and you and I have been patient. So after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Because what is our promise? Sure, our promise is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But that's beginning of the promise. The full promise is a body change in this end time. That's why I said the four messengers. Everybody else has had three to deal with. Luther, Wesley, we talked about it downstairs. And you can bring it back, and I want to get back like Brother Dale in the Old Testament and start looking, because I was watching what he was talking about this morning when he read that scripture. When was the sheaf waved? It wasn't waved on the Sabbath. It was waved on the day after the Sabbath. Now the Sabbath's not Sunday. The Sabbath is Saturday. So when was it waved? Sunday morning. When Jesus Christ resurrected, the first fruits came up, the sheaf, on the very day, the eighth day.
Right.
Oh my. I'm going to get back in that too myself. Me and Dad may intertwine, but I've been really wanting to get back into the every feast day. So if you cover that, that's okay. But man, this morning I thought, oh boy, that's wonderful. And I'd really never seen that, because I thought the priest just went out and waved it, but it's the day after the Sabbath.
Right.
You wait on the eighth day is when Jesus Christ was waved. The eighth day is when he's waved in you when you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Because you don't have the Holy Ghost if you're still in the seventh day. You got to go into the eighth day. Or a resurrection.
Right.
All right. So here's this Melchizedek. Brother Brown says, when Abraham met him, he was Melchizedek. He unfolds here all the attributes we'll do in the final end. Every son of Abraham. So if we believe what Brother Brown said, then we know that this has got to happen to all of us.
Right.
Every son of Abraham, every son of the faith.
Right.
What are we? We're the faith seed. We're not, I don't think that we even could check back far enough and be the physical seed of Abraham. And it wouldn't do you any good if you were. But to see that you're the spiritual seed of Abraham, the only genealogy book you need to go back to is this one.
Right.
This is where your spiritual genealogy is. Your natural genealogy just tells you your mom and your grandma and your grandpa and all the different ones. But this tells you who your father is.
Right.
We don't go back no further.
Right.
God don't have grandkids.
Right.
So we don't go. We go by father. And the Bible says that the new Jerusalem, which come out of heaven, is our mother. So we got a mother and a father, and here you and I are sons and daughters of God. Amen? So look at this plan of redemption then in four stages, because we're going through justification, sanctification. We've been through the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And now we got to go where Abraham meets Melchizedek. And then after so many years, we're going to go to Genesis 22, where God tells him, says, take him out and kill him. Amen. So now we saw in justification, if you ever want to go back, or if somebody's just watching in, chapter 12 and chapter 13 of the book of Genesis, and chapter 14, most of it, is the justification. Because you're going to see, we'll read that in just a second, but you're going to see where the Lord speaks to Abram and says, get up and leave. You're going to see also that when we get, and we're going to type Ruth. What is Ruth's first stage? Ruth, what's the first thing Ruth does? I got it wrote down in her head. She decides. Abram had to decide whether that was God or not in Genesis 12 that spoke to him. And by faith, he believed it was, because this guy is talking to Abram and he says, I will make thee a great nation. I will bless thee. So, not deductive reasoning, Aaron, but if you, somebody comes and tells you that I will do all these things and it's humanly impossible for a human being to do it, then it must be God.
Amen.
So there's your reasoning that Abram had, because remember, Abram didn't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Right.
He heard a voice. And the voice says, get up and leave. So Abram decided, same way with you and me and everybody else, one day we decided to listen to what that voice told us. Whether that voice was from a preacher or from a deacon or an elder or anybody else that had the baptism of the Holy Ghost, because you have to hear it. This is what I like. Brother Brown says seed life comes through the body. You have to hear somebody that's been quickened before you are quickened.
That's right.
Amen. You have to hear from somebody that the word's already been quickened to.
Right.
Other than that, it's just conversation.
Right.
It's just a conversation piece. And right. And then you know, Luis will go back to his old buddies and he'll start talking about the Lord. Well, they can receive from that. But if the buddy starts talking to the other buddy and all the buddies talk together and they don't have the Holy Ghost, what are they going to talk about?
Right.
They're going to talk about the old things they used to do.
Right.
But when somebody with the seed life, like Luis, walks up to the crowd and they start talking about so-and-so, and Luis says, I don't do that anymore. That's not part of me anymore. Let me tell you how I got changed. See, that's the seed life, as Brother Dale was talking about. The seed, we know the sower of the seed is the Son of Man, but how's he sowing it? You didn't hear Jesus physically speak. We don't have no tape. We've got what's written in this book, but who's to say that that book's wrong? Who's to say that book's not? I said, who's to say? Because
right.
It can be questioned, but once you get the life of that person that wrote that book inside of you,
right.
Then you say amen, like Brother Bram said, you say amen to every word.
Right.
You have to.
Right.
Why? Because the one that wrote it is the one that's inside here,
right.
Looking at that and responding back to what's already been wrote. Because
right.
That's where you find yourself in the Word. Because
right.
You can read this Bible and get your little stars, Sunday school stars, which is fine for the kids, and read your scriptures. But unless it becomes alive to you, it's just another book to read.
Right.
All right? So, well, what I'm saying about Abram. Abram had to decide that this was God talking to him. This was somebody talking to him that could fulfill all of this. Because, you know, his friends probably said, nah, Abram, you got a good job.
Yeah.
You and your daddy's working together and your business is pretty brisk. They're buying idols, you know, and everything's good and fine and you're making some good money. And God says, Abram, I'm going to make you great.
Yeah.
Now, his daddy never told him that.
Right.
I would say. His daddy, his physical daddy, never said, Abram, I'm going to make you great. I'm going to give you land. I'm going to give you a nation. I will bless you and make your name great.
Right.
And I will bless them that bless thee and curse them. He had to know it one time, just like you and I had to know it one time. It wasn't just a voice that spoke to you and that had been speaking to you before. No, it was a special type of voice.
Amen.
That when you connected to it, something happened.
Right. Yep.
When you listened to that voice that called you out of the world, that was a special voice.
Amen.
Now, there's been many voices in my life, and same way as you. And sometimes I know when the devil's talking to me now.
Right.
And he tells a lot of truth sometimes. But you have to watch his motive. But when God speaks to you a lot of times, he just speaks and then that's it.
Right.
He's gone. Amen? That's what he did with Abram. But with Abram, see, through your journey, starting with justification, bring that back up again. So in his plan of redemption, Genesis 12 through 14 to 15. But in Ezekiel, to me, Ezekiel is where it nails it all down and tells you exactly. So let's go to it. Therefore say, thus saith the Lord, I will even gather you from the people. Now watch. This is your journey of a Christian right here in Ezekiel. Because he had to call you out. He had to call Abram out. I will even gather you from the people and assemble you out of the countries where you have been scattered. In other words, that bar you used to go to in that country club. That country club you used to go to, right? Country club. He's calling you out of those things where you've been scattered, and I will give you the land of Israel. Now, what is the land of Israel? The promised land.
Right.
So now here we see this. And forgive me if I go over this over and over again, but things open up to me more and more every time I start reading the same identical scripture like that one, talking about countries where you've been scattered. It is the different places you've been, not countries as far as United States, Europe, and all these different. No. It's a country you've been walking in that you should not, because he's bringing you out of that country and putting you in the land of Israel.
Right.
There's no promise out here. This is where the promise is.
Right.
Amen. Just as Israel cannot and will not be blessed unless they're in the what? Promised land.
Right.
You as a Christian will not and cannot be blessed when you get out of the promised land,
right,
which is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You say, well, no, you can't lose it, but you can sure grieve it.
Yeah.
Right. You can sure step over into another country. But he's going to what? He's going to call you back. If you're a true son, you won't lose that. You won't keep going in that direction.
Right.
No, he'll call you back.
Right.
And they shall come thither, and they shall take away all the detestable things thereof. Now, what he's talking about, your life. I had some detestable things. Did you not? Yeah. So he's talking to me. That scripture is there just for me.
Right. Yeah.
You got to decide whether it's for you or not. Take away all the detestable things thereof and all the abominations. Now that covers all of us. Because unless you're born again, you're an abomination to God.
Right.
Sorry, that's just the way it is. There's no gray area. You're either in or out.
Right.
Now you can be on your journey, but God knows how far you're going to go in that journey. And I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you. Now we talked about this, but I want to keep going back to it. I will take the stony heart out of their flesh, and I will give them a heart of flesh. In other words, he's starting you on your journey. You're getting something new.
Right.
You're getting a new heart.
Right.
You're justified. Your sins have been chopped off. God has done a work in your life that he has not done in billions of other people's life.
Right.
But he's doing it for you because you responded and you decided that was God talking to you. And you decided, you, as I've always said, you get sick and tired of being sick and tired. Right? When you get sick and tired of being sick and tired, then God can work on you.
Amen.
All right? So let's hold on to that, because he's going to take the stony heart out and give you a heart that he can work with. That's in justification. Sanctification, Genesis 15. We know Genesis 15 starts. It says, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision. Now remember, he's still Abram.
Right.
He's still Abram. He's still doing some things, you know, that maybe he shouldn't be doing. And like I said before, he took a lot with him, and you take a lot with you when you take off on your journey. All right, let's go to sanctification, Genesis 15. Don't go to it, but go right there. That's fine. But in Genesis 15, 16 is sanctification. If you want to keep reading that where God put Abram to sleep, told him he was zeroed out. He had not, because you can't sanctify yourself.
Right.
You can't justify yourself for sure, but you can't sanctify yourself. You of your own self, remember the unclean spirit goes out, but remember there's still a place that he can come back to.
Right.
Be careful with that, because he'll give you what? He'll give you a religious spirit and think everything's okay. But now Abram didn't stop. When all this was done, all these sacrifices, all these different things, God showed him hell, death. Brother Brown tells all these things that he showed him. But when Abram woke back up, he just kept right on walking.
Right.
He didn't say, all right, I'm done. I can't do this no more. And he turns around and goes, no. He just kept on going.
Right.
gets up. Now, he makes a mistake because he takes Hagar and has a child, but it's not the promised child.
Right.
It's not the promise. He gets a promise, but he's not the promised child. That's not perfect will. That's permissive will, because the Bible says that the bondwoman will not have anything to do with the free woman. Now, the bondwoman was who? That was Hagar. All right? We don't want to be bound. We want to be with the free woman, which was Sarah. All right? So you see where the true purpose of the plan and promise was with Sarah the whole time.
Right.
Not with Hagar. But God allowed that to come in to give us another group of people that can come into the kingdom, that gets another promise,
right,
that can live outside the city, that can be not born again. Listen, they won't be born again. Foolish virgin never gets born again. If you get born again, you're a born again,
right,
baptism of the Holy Ghost, Spirit-filled child of God, and you live in the city.
Right. Right.
Seed of Abraham. But now the seed of Hagar, or not Hagar, but the seed of Ishmael, they can live outside the city. They can be imparted or given a promise or given eternal life, which is the foolish virgin, cup of water in my name, people that don't make it to age of accountability. We forget those people sometimes. And I also want to remember one other group. I was thinking about this the other day. And what a great God that gave us a prophet. I got a friend of mine, Timmy McCoy, that's got a Down syndrome girl, and she's about 30. How old is she, Tim? About 30 something? About 30, 33? About, okay. Laura Beth. You know, Brother Brown said those kind of children had a special angel that was with them from birth. You know why? Because they're going to be given eternal life. They can't be judged for what they are and the condition they're in. So what a mighty God that sent us a prophet to clarify all that. People that like that are Down syndrome, they're going to be there. But you know what? Their soul is not Down syndrome. That's what Brother Brown said. He said, that's a splitting of a cell from what happens out here in the world. No disrespect to Timmy and Kathy at all. It's just something that happened in the birth, natural happening in the body. But God made provision that when that baby came forth, he gave Laura Beth a soul.
Amen.
But that soul is going to be eternal. Not then, now. She'll have to go to the white throne judgment. But still, that you see all these provisions. You say, well, what are you saying? She's under a promise.
Right.
She's under a promise. Now, not the promise of Abraham. She'll never be a seed of Abraham. But she can be a seed of Ishmael. She can be a seed that receives eternal life or receives a promise. Thank God. When I see Down's children, I hate it for them. But you know what? This is what I also think. There's mama and daddy. Don't go to church. Don't care nothing about God. But that person that they brought up that way, that condition that they're in, they're going to be given eternal life. The parents are not. May not be. But there's a person that's I always think of duty. People with brain damage, stuff like that. God makes provisions for that. He's a graceful God. And so he puts we're not supposed to be part of the bondwoman, but yet the bondwoman wasn't cast out. Sure, she was cast out of the home naturally, but God still, remember, she was sitting by a well. She was getting ready to die, thirsty, getting ready to feed Ishmael. And God comes and says, he sends an angel and says, I'm going to take care of you. Now, why didn't he just leave it alone if it was so trashy and so bad? No, there has to be another line there of be given eternal life or permissive will that's going to populate this whole world probably 100 times more than the bride.
Right. Yep.
But that's okay. That's all right. But you and I have been called to be the seed of Abraham.
Right.
That's our call. That's our promise, is to be the seed children of Abraham.
Right.
For I will take from among you the heathen. Now this is Ezekiel 36. Now when we read before was Ezekiel 11. So this is going up a little higher. Ezekiel 36 says, for I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries and will bring you into your own land. So he's got to bring you out. Then I will sprinkle clean water upon you. Washing of the water of the word. Remember, this is sanctification. What is sanctification? Cleaned and set aside for service with water. Everybody got that? Say amen. And ye shall be clean. Didn't say that back in the other one. It just gave you a new heart. Right? Now we're talking about cleaning up and sanctification. From all your filthiness and all your idols will I cleanse you. Now remember this scripture, because when Brother Branham speaks and tells us that he gives us a new spirit, but it's not the Holy Spirit.
Right.
So this is not talking about the Holy Spirit. A new heart will I give you, justification. And a new spirit will I put within you. Yeah. That's not the Holy Spirit, because let's see, he doesn't say that's my spirit. He said, I'll give you a new spirit within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. So he's going to do this to help us in our sanctification. Look at number two, hidden life in Christ. I'd like to stop here if possible and tell you some things on that. You're a little creative yourself. He said he'd give you a new spirit. Now that spirit isn't God's spirit. That's your spirit. God gives you a new spirit, then he says, I'll put my spirit in him. Now that's the third stage of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But the thing God has to do is give you a new spirit, make your nature a little more gentle and settle down, or he couldn't even live with you.
Right.
He's not going to live with you when that unclean spirit's inside. Luke 11, it talks about the unclean spirit going out. Well, you know what's going to happen? God's going to work on you while that thing's gone. Because he can finally touch you a little bit. Remember, he picks the jar up, but he sets it down. It's still nasty, but he's starting to clean it up. He's getting ready to put it in service. He hadn't put it in service yet, but you know what? That is a glass.
Right.
See, that's where we can go back to predestination. When he picked it up, it was a glass.
Right.
When it was made, it was a glass. But it got put in the mud. That's not the purpose for that glass. The purpose for that glass is to be clean so you can drink out of it. Everybody got that? Amen. So in predestination, God knew by foreknowledge that, you know, they some cups is going to stay in there. Because he knows they won't stay clean. Speaking of us. But he knew when he picked you up. Those who he has justified. He has already drank from the cup. God can do that. We can't. Because we look at it and go, it still looks kind of nasty to me. But you know what? God's got a plan and a purpose. God knows that that thing's got to start from the inside out.
Right.
Starting with sanctification. But the thing God has to do is give you a new spirit, make your nature a little more gentle and settle down, or he couldn't even live with you. See, he's got to get you fixed up first before he can come in. I'll give you a new spirit. Then you take him anywhere. You go all kinds of places, mainly church, and get around other born-again people. Because you really don't know how to act. Because remember, the unclean spirit goes out, but you still got that old nature.
Right.
It's still hanging on until the cutting of the foreskin. Right. You still got that old nature. But when God comes and fills you up and seals you, then you've got the nature of God, and you just keep moving on.
Right.
As Abraham. Because remember, during this part of the journey, it's still Abram.
Right.
Abram is not turned to Abraham until Genesis chapter 17, when he's given this, he's got faith, and then he's given the seal of circumcision to what? All right, you're Abraham. You're not going back to Abram no more.
Right.
You're Abraham now.
Right.
You can complete the promise I gave you when you were Abram. He's got to get you fixed up so he can, so what? So you can entertain him right. Now, most of us did not entertain God right before we became Christians. We entertained that other guy. Oh yeah. Number three, intervail. Notice you put a new spirit. God has to give you a new spirit or you couldn't even get along with him. You can't get along with yourself. That old devil spirit you had in you. Everybody says amen. And he's gotten to put a new spirit in you so you can get along with his spirit. Amen. I will put a new spirit in them and I will put my spirit in them. That's later on. And after he gives you a new spirit, that's you. Don't get it confused with God's spirit. It's not. It's your new spirit so you can get along with the Holy Spirit if he ever gives it to you. Right. All right, and he will. So let's look at the new birth real quick. Excuse me. Genesis 17 starts the new birth. We went through that. We see that in Genesis 17, Abram was 90 years old and 9, and the Lord appeared to Abram and said, I am the Almighty God. Don't go, just, you're fine. Then he goes right back to what he said before, I will make thee exceeding fruitful. I will establish my covenant. Verse 8, I will give unto thee. I will be their God. This is my covenant that ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed afterwards. Every man child among you shall be circumcised. And we're talking about circumcision. Now remember, circumcision, watch this real quick. Let's read this right here. Let's read what Brother Brown says about circumcision real quick. Ezekiel 36, let's read this here. Now here we go to the same thing we were reading, Ezekiel 36, verse 25 to 26. Now let's add to 28. For I will take from you among the heathen and gather you out of all your countries and will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you and you shall be clean, for all your filthiness from all your idols will I cleanse you. And a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh and I will give you a heart of flesh. Now that's where we stop. But when we go on to verse 27, now here's where Brother Ram talks about, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. And you shall dwell in the land that I give to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be their God. Brother Ram says in Hidden Life with Christ, number 4, that the Bible said he would give us a new heart, and he would give us a new spirit. Many people, even Pentecostal people and full gospel people, has been deceived in that. And many people in the message, because we see the people falling away. Brother Claude and I were talking yesterday, and you know, Brother Brown said that Satan can impersonate all 9 spiritual gifts. Well, you know what? We always go to tongues and interpretation, but there is wisdom in there. Now, we have the spirit of wisdom on this side, but if Satan can impersonate, he can have somebody like the brother in North Carolina preach 30 years, the message of the hour, with a good knowledge of the message, and then leave. Yeah. You see what wisdom he got, though. He got the wisdom from the other guy. I'm sorry. That's just the way it is. I mean, I'm not saying anything bad against the brother, but when you turn and say Brother Ram's lying now, he lied to the people, what are you saying? Then everything's a lie. All 1,100 sermons, everything, take it, just wipe his history out. If it's one, you know, if he's lying. But you can have wisdom without having God's wisdom, was the point we were talking about. You can have the 9 spiritual gifts a lot of times and they not be the right, coming from the right guy. Because if he can impersonate them, then that's what's happening now. Well, this is not an impersonation when he puts his spirit. God puts his spirit inside of you. He's took out the old spirit and done away with that other guy and give you his spirit. Many times God said, I'll give you a new spirit. That wasn't his spirit. That's your spirit. Then I will put my spirit in you. I will give you a new spirit. Then I will put my spirit in you. And many times you get the new spirit and think you've got the Holy Spirit. And trusting upon emotions and signs, and let me put 9 spiritual gifts. Because if he can impersonate them, you got to be careful. When your life doesn't pivot up to that, now that's just a little raw, but remember, it's the truth. Many people, that spirit, that new spirit, God had to give you a new spirit to get along with his spirit. Well, some people so mean they can't even get along with themselves, let alone with God if he'd come in. That's right. So doubtful, up and down. God has to give you a new spirit, give you a new nature, so you can get along with his spirit when it comes. I hope you see it. God gives you a new spirit for yourself and then puts his Holy Spirit in there, amen, to dwell with you and abide with you. Everybody got that? Amen. We've been over this over and over, but I want to read number 5, impersonation of Christianity. Just go to the red part. His spirit was different from your new spirit. And many people get the new spirit and think they got the Holy Spirit. They got feelings, I mean, happy, jump around, maybe do a few things religiously. And they think that they got the Holy Spirit. Oh, no, the Holy Spirit makes you act different. The Holy Spirit makes you think different. The Holy Spirit was put right in the middle of your new spirit, and your new spirit was put right in the middle of your new heart. The new heart, the new spirit in the middle of the new heart, and God said, I'll put my spirit in you.
Right.
You just got the love of God so down in you till you just live it. It isn't you, it's something in you.
Glory.
Now let's not, now also let's read these next few because of circumcision. Brother Bram says, Israel and the church. Beautiful. God took Christ at Calvary. Tore him apart, soul and body. He sent the body upon his right hand and sent the Holy Spirit back. The covenant with the people. And you believe by faith, like Abraham did. And he was given the seal of circumcision for a confirmation of his faith. And you believe and accept Jesus as your Savior, then God gives you the baptism of the Holy Ghost as a confirmation of your faith. That's why you and I are the faith seed of Abraham. You say you believe and hadn't received the Holy Ghost, something's wrong with your faith. God circumcises the heart the minute the believer really comes in full surrender. Say that folks surely must have done something. I felt that even back. In other words, he's felt somebody kicking back from him out in the audience, I believe. When the believer firmly believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, because like I said before, he's probably preaching to Pentecostals and people say, well, you got to speak in tongues. You got to interpret. You got to do this. Because that's what their evidence is. If you don't speak in tongues, you ain't got the Holy Ghost in the Pentecostal realm. Especially back when in 1953 when he's preaching this. Oh, yeah, them Pentecostals believe speaking in tongues is the evidence of the Holy Ghost. But he's not telling them. He's telling them, said, look, when the believer firmly believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, God's under obligation to give him the Holy Ghost.
Right.
Confirmation of his faith. Say, what's the matter, Brother Branham? Just your faith, that's all. If you'd surely believe, God's there to give it to you. Number 7, God's commissioning Moses. Oh, I thought I got the Holy Ghost when I believed. They still teach that, but it's wrong. Faith's all right. Faith is good. Now remember, there's a quote up further in the message where Brother Brown says faith alone won't do it.
Right.
Wow. We'll get into that later on.
Right.
Faith got Abraham believed God and it was imputed or reckoned unto him for righteousness. But God gave him the seal of circumcision as a seal of his faith.
Right.
Brethren, when you get pure, genuine faith in God, God will give you the baptism of the Holy Ghost as the seal of the promise, which is a seal that you have faith. Not that you'll get it,
right.
But you have faith.
Right.
You might make some kind of an impression or make people believe, or you might say you got faith. But when you really got genuine, unadulterated faith, God will give you the baptism of the Holy Ghost as a seal of the promise. Amen. That's not skim milk now, children. Now let's read Romans 4, verse 9. We know what happened in verse 17. About the new birth,
right.
Where he changes his name to Abraham, changes your name to Christian, because you're really not a full fledged Christian until you get the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Right.
You're believing unto,
right.
All right, and that's where, like, you know, even you, like Brother Brown would talk to the Baptist, once saved, always saved. Now, if you're once saved, always saved, and it continues on all these years, then yeah. But when you watch people, and you don't want to say this, but I'm going to, you got to say this, because you look at people that you look at their life, and maybe back at 12 years old, they come up and made a shake hands, turn around, you know, signed a letter, and then they never darkened the doors of a church, and you see their life doesn't, as Brother Ram says, pivvy up to what the Bible says. But then when they pass away and the people do their funeral, especially if it's a good Baptist, they say, well, he got saved back at 12 years old. Once saved, always saved. Well, now, I don't agree with that.
Right.
And God don't agree with that. And Brother Branham didn't agree with that.
That's right.
All right? Now, but once saved, always saved, Brother Branham said, I'll go with you. If it's once saved, always going to the end, and you keep seeing the characteristics of God all the way through their life.
Right.
But that's a gross error to tell the people that. Because Paul looks at him and says, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe?
Right.
Amen? But you got, it's all based on faith. That's why this journey of a believer, believing, you got to believe something.
Yes.
Everybody okay with that? You got to believe something.
Right.
So let's just believe that God's going to give us the baptism of the Holy Ghost, or he already gave it to us. But now when you do that, you don't just sit down. Abraham just didn't sit down in a chair and say, I'm done. No, man, he still met God, fed a calf to him, made butter, went through his life, took his son up to a mountain. It's just a lot we have to do. Brother Brown said once time, and I know it's quoted here many, many times, Brother Brown tells us, Brother Dale's told us, when you get born again, you just start your Christian journey. That's just the very beginning of your journey of a believer. Because you're believing unto, but when Brother Branham says right here, when God gives you the Holy Ghost because of a confirmation of your faith, then there's the connection. He believes all God is a believer. There's no unbelief in him. But there's unbelief in us. But when that unbelief is driven out of that inside man, and the believer that has no unbelief goes inside there and he seals it up, then Brother Brown says, you become a believer. Now, there's a lot of doubt in your human mind and even in your spirit realm, but that inside man cannot be contrary to the Word because it is the Word.
Right.
Can't be contrary. Right. Now, we know that didn't happen to Abraham because you can't get born again in the Old Testament.
Right.
But it does happen to us. That example is for us that Abraham continued on. And like I said before, he looks out and he says, my Lord. He knew that was a man he met, that Melchizedek that he had met back in his journey of justification. All right, let's read Romans 4, verse 9 and see what Paul says about this. Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only? Because you got to remember, in the Old Testament, that was a sign that you were a believer. Now, I have nothing to go on, but I'm going to say that every person that was circumcised, I don't know if they were a believer or not, because I mean Judas was a Jew, and he probably was circumcised, and he turned out to be what he was. You understand what I'm saying? So back in the Old Testament, it had to be just a type, right? Because remember, all Jews that come out of Egypt, under all that, why wouldn't you be a believer if God fed you every day? He watered you every day. Your clothes never wore out. And that's a hard thing because, buddy, there was babies being born thousands a day, and here they are in these little swaddling clothes, and then you see them at 8 years old, 8 years later. The clothes grew with them. But they were unbelievers. 2 million of them. Died in the wilderness under unbelief. But yet they were what? They were circumcised Jews. They believed we're the seed of Abraham. Caiaphas was standing there in the temple, totally circumcised in his flesh. He couldn't be a high priest if he wasn't. But what good did it do? So this is what Paul's dealing with now. Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How was it then reckoned? When he was in circumcision? I love this because this explains that Abraham didn't just become a believer when he met Melchizedek. He didn't just become a believer when God met him and said, your name's now Abraham. Paul's fixing to tell you the covenant was given when he was back in uncircumcision. So the promise was given you when you started walking in justification. If you truly go all the way, then that's where God, your faith started right back there.
Right.
Not the night you got the new birth. Remember, the night you get the new birth or the day you get the new birth is the day that God confirms your faith.
Amen.
Not that you're getting faith, but that you have faith.
Right.
And that faith has been cultivated and cultured from all the time whenever God first called you till now, because watch what he says right here. He says, now look, how was it then reckoned, when he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? We're all going, no. When Abraham circumcised himself, that's when he started believing. No, he believed that day when God called him in the Ur of Chaldees out of that room that he was in making idols. Because look, Watch right here. How is it reckoned? Was it in circumcision or uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had, yet being uncircumcised. That he might be the father of what? Us. All of them that what? Believe. That's why this journey of a believer, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. Romans 4 verse 18, watch what it says. Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his body now dead, circumstances, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Now remember, he didn't just take them back to young men and women. Brother Brown says, I've got the quote in there, I may use it next week, but he says, he actually had to heal Sarah in her womb because he could have turned her back to 20 years old and she wasn't fertile to begin with. They'd been having relations for so many years and never had a child. But you know he was fertile because he had a child with Hagar and he had an Ishmael. So it wasn't, listen, it's not the male's problem in this journey that we're in. It's the female's problem.
That's right. Exactly right.
The male Jesus Christ is fertile. He sowed seed.
Right.
And that seed's going to come up. Our problem is we haven't received that seed. I'm not talking about us. I'm talking about people that are not born again have not received that seed. Yeah. Or you receive it, but you kick it out. Because remember, you can, and then you get to this part, and then remember, you go to where it's a dry land, and then you go to where this happens, and that happens, and you die. Remember, in the sower of the seed, there's different stages. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed or reckoned or counted to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed if we believe. Because listen, many people through the dawn of time or from the time the Bible was written or the time even that Abraham comes on the scene, many people have read Abraham's story and not got one thing from it.
Right.
Not got one thing from it. Just a good story. It's a good story about a man and all this, you know. We had to have a prophet to come and tell us that God changed their body. Because it's not written fully in the Bible that God changed their body. But now being in the end time, you and I look at that and we key on that because that's our promise. Wasn't promised Martin Luther to get a body change. Wasn't promised Wesley to get a body change. It was promised for us to take a body change. So God had to, through a prophet, show us it's already in the Bible. So they could receive the promised son. But for us also to whom it shall be imputed or reckoned, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. Now let's go to Genesis 18. That's where we were at last Wednesday night. Cover it just a few minutes. Then we'll get to Genesis 22. Maybe we'll get finished with that in just a few minutes. Is this 2 or 2:12? Okay. Chapter 18. We won't go to it. Just stay right there because we're going to read a quote from Who Is This Melchizedek? Because I wanted to come back. We were explaining this Wednesday. And for those that maybe are not that are watching in that maybe doesn't know anything about the prophet of God that we had in the end time and all that, we had a prophet come and tell us he was identified in the scripture, identified in the word of God all the way through the word of God as being the church, being a messenger to bring us what? Clarity. He didn't bring us a new Bible. He didn't bring us we didn't have to do like the Mormons and have to write a new Bible. No. He gave us clarity for the Bible that we already have. All right? And gives us not an idea. Because if I didn't bring the quote, I'm going to tell you what Brother Brown said. Do you know when Abraham, when Isaac looks at, you said it this morning, when Isaac looks at Abraham and says, Daddy, here's the wood, here's the fire, but where's the sacrifice? Brother Brown said that wasn't Abraham that spoke. When he said, God, son, God himself will provide a sacrifice. He said that was God speaking through Abraham. And there was the ram. Because remember, look, Abraham didn't have any creative power. Abraham in himself couldn't create. So what he spoke through, I hope I got it in here. Maybe I did. I read so many, it's like 127 quotes where Brother Ram talks about them going up on the mountain. So let's just read this real quick. Stay right there. Genesis chapter 18. The Lord appeared to Abraham. Now what was this? This was a man. This was not, that's what I was going to say about the people. There's one school of thought that Melchizedek was just a myth. Or that Melchizedek was a priesthood, which we see that even in the end time. Now they have people out there that are under the Melchizedek priesthood. But now we must read in the Bible, though, where Paul picks it up, the great apostle Paul, and he tells us, he says, this man doesn't have a father, doesn't have a mother, doesn't have a beginning of days, doesn't have an end of days. He said, so obviously, whoever that person was is still here today.
Right.
So it had to be a person, not a priesthood.
Right.
So what did Abraham meet? He met God in human flesh.
Right.
A prefigure of the Son of Man. Because remember, hold on a minute. That Son of Man we were promised had to be born like we were born. Melchizedek wasn't. It was a body spoken into existence, but it was still God in human flesh. But that wasn't our brother. That wasn't our Savior. But now down inside was our Savior. There's a little, you be a little technical there. It was the same person, theophany person, but not the same flesh. Because that flesh that died for me and you had to come the way we came. No sex, though, but God placed a womb in the womb, a egg and the germ, and there was a body that, come on, people, it didn't come from nobody on earth.
Right.
But yet it was a human body that grew older, had to go to the bathroom, had to eat, cried, had agony. But down inside of him was that same man that spoke to Abraham, because remember, he said, before Abraham was, I am. So he was identifying that Melchizedek that was standing in front of Abraham was a prefigure, Brother Brown says, of Jesus Christ. But that flesh, remember, that's not our Savior standing there. The man inside is, but now that is God in human flesh. Because Brother Ram says that the Son of Man has to reappear in the end time to talk to Abraham's seed. So who is God in human flesh? We're not looking for another man to come. We're looking at men and sisters that have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Sometimes we forget them. Because if they're God in human flesh, they're part of the Son of Man ministry, as Brother Dale was talking about this morning. I say not ministry up here. I mean the Son of Man ministry in the end time. They're covered under that Son of Man ministry, which is what? God in human flesh. But remember, as we say before, that this great person was not a myth. It was God. No more, no less. It was God Almighty standing there in human flesh talking to Abraham. Because remember, the Bible, a myth can't eat a cow. Even a theophany can't eat a cow. Remember what they, if this doesn't help you, God help you to see it. When Brother Brown went across that curtain of time, what's the first thing they said? We don't eat here. That's a theophany. Theophanies don't eat. So for Melchizedek to commune with Abraham, he had to get in human flesh.
Right.
Amen?
Amen?
So it had to be a human man standing there in front of him.
That's right. Amen.
Then when he ate the calf, you say, where'd it go? It went inside of him. He had a stomach. But when he dropped that flesh and stepped over back into that faster dimension, He went right back to the theophany that didn't need to eat, didn't have to eat. But what is he doing now? He's showing, like I said, the first quote, he's showing that the sons of Abraham, the seed, has to come face to face with God in human flesh in the end times. Everybody agree with that? Say amen. I agree with it. I mean, that's just what it's got to be. And remember, he washed his feet. He fed him. Then here comes the discernment. This man says, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. So God, it had to be God. Because there sat 99-year-old Abraham. There sat 89-year-old Sarah. She was dead anyway, womb-wise. And this man sitting here is talking to them too and looking them both in the eye. Of course, Sarah goes back in the tent, but he says, hey, look, I will visit you.
Right.
I will. Abram couldn't do it. Abraham couldn't do it. I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah, thy wife, shall have a son.
Right.
And then, of course, Sarah sniggered. Sarah laughed within her heart, saying, am I waxed old? Shall I have pleasure? My Lord being old also. You know what I'm talking about. And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore, why did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of surety bear a child? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Boy, he just cut it off right there. Is anything too hard for the Lord? But see, remember, Abraham had a revelation of who that person was. Sarah may not have had a revelation exactly of who that person was. But remember, Brother Brown said Abraham said that God would have killed Sarah. Look how there Abraham then being Christ, showing Christ, standing there as what? The male with the weaker female behind him, doubting. But I'm sure that the next day or two, Abraham looked at Sarah and said, you were that close to dying. But, see, this is the way I see it. Abraham looked at Sarah and said, but you can't die. There's nothing you can do. If we can see that, God has turned to his bride and said, you can do nothing. They'll cause you to die because I'm going to bring that promise. God said he's going to bring that promise through me and you. Oh, praise the Lord, through us. And it's transferred from Abraham, that faith that Abraham, Christ is nothing but faith. But he has to transfer it to a bride so that she can believe. Is anything too hard for God? Lord says, shall I hide anything from Abraham? We're at the end time, folks. God can't hide anything from us. We have the open book. And we know that later on the baby was born. But let's read this in number 8. Who is this? Melchizedek, 1965. And just let him explain who this person was. Think of this great person, of how great this man must be. And now the question is, who is this man? Theologians has had different ideas. But since the opening of the seven seals, look, the opening of the seven seals, the mysterious book that's been mysterious to us. According to Revelations 10, 1 through 7, all the mysteries that's wrote in this book that's been hid down through the age of the reformers is supposed to be brought out into view by the angel of the last church age. How many knows that? Say amen. Congregation says amen. That's right. Supposed to be brought. All the mysteries of the mysterious book is to be revealed to the Laodicean messenger of that age. Seeing there is much dispute about this person and this subject, I think it behooves us to break into it to find out who this is. Now, there are several schools of thought on him. One of the schools are claims he's just a myth. He wasn't actually a person. Well, the Bible says a man, and that man ate a calf, and that man talked to Abraham.
Right.
So it was definitely a person.
Yes.
It can't be that. No, the others say it was a priesthood. That was the Melchizedek priesthood. Like I said before, if you'll pull up Melchizedek priesthood, there's people in the country that build religion, a religion on saying that they're part of the Melchizedek priesthood. Just like that people are now saying that they're under the spirit of Elijah. It's not one person. Not the Malachi 4 is not one person. It's a spirit. See what they do? They're dividing it out. We know that's not true. It was a priesthood. That's the Melchizedek priesthood. That's the most likely one. Look, Brother Brown says, that's the most likely one that holds better to that side than they do to the other. It's because they say it was a priesthood. Now watch. It can't be that. For in the fourth verse, it says he was a person, a man. So in order to be a person, he has to be a personality, a man, not an order, but a person. So he was not just a priesthood order, neither was he a myth. He was a person. And the person is eternal. If you notice, he had no father, no mother, no time he ever began. He had no time he ever ended. And ever who it was is still alive tonight.
Right.
Because the Bible said here that he had neither father nor mother, beginning of days or ending of life. Let me ask you a question. I was reading this the other day, and I've been reading about Joshua. So I went to Joshua. Joshua, it means Jehovah Savior, which he's a type of Christ, right?
Right.
Right? You know who he was the son of? Who was he the son of?
None.
Anybody get that? Anybody get that? He was the son of none. No father, no mother, no beginning of days, no ending of life. Joshua, the son of none. Is that okay? I mean, that's the way I see it. When you look at Joshua, Jehovah Savior, our type of Christ, leading and putting everybody in position, he didn't have a father or mother. Now, Jesus Christ, Brother Brown, now you say Jesus Christ. Now, you look at Jesus Christ, and he had a father and a mother. Now, you have to be careful with that one. But this man that we're talking about here, he had no father, no mother, no time he ever began. He had no time he ever ended. Ever who it was is still here tonight, because the Bible said he had neither father nor mother, beginning of days, nor end of life. So it had to have to be an eternal person. So now let me ask you a question. If the Son of Man is supposed to be prevalent in the end time, what are we looking for? An eternal person. If you're born again tonight, you are an eternal person. An eternal person. So it could only be one person, and that's God, because he's the only one that's eternal. Amen? So God revealed himself to Abraham after the circumcision, after he come to a place to where he knows that when he looks at Abraham and says, Abraham, Abram, you're going to be changed to Abraham. And here's Sarah, your wife. And you two are going to have this promised child. Abraham believed God, the Bible says, and it was imputed or reckoned to him for righteousness. All right? Because God didn't tell him he's going to have them by anybody else. He said, you, like I said before, if we can believe that the promise is made that we're going to bring the promised child, just as Ruth come through what? Three stages. And then what was the last stage of Ruth? We'll get into it next Sunday. The last stage of Ruth was Ruth getting what? A reward.
Right.
The fourth stage is a reward for going through the other three stages.
Amen.
The fourth stage is getting a reward of coming to here.
Glory.
To where God can use you, just like right here in Genesis 22. Now, we need to go to Genesis 22 physically. Go to Genesis chapter 22. So if you'll pull Genesis chapter 22 up. We'll go through this and read. Give them a minute. Brother Anderson will get it. All right, look. And it came to pass. After these things. You look at so many times God writes in the Bible, after these things. What? After these things. He's put us through tests and trials. And all these different things. And Abraham coming through these different things. And look. All the different things that go on. But now watch in chapter 22. Look, the offering of Isaac. This is where God has let you walk through your Christian journey for years. And you've grown up with the child. And you've got to know the child. He ain't a child anymore. He's grown up. I'm talking about you. You've grown up. You've learned to trust Papa God. You've learned. But God's going to make sure that you're sure. That you're sure. Everybody got that? He's going to make sure. He knew Abraham was going to kill that child. Because he was coming down with a knife. And the angel stopped him. And God says, now I know. We'll read it in a minute. God says, I know now. We're not, God knew before the foundation of the world. But Abraham didn't know. And here's our still example. This is our fourth stage. He's already been through three stages. Justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost, having the seal of circumcision, and God meeting him in human flesh and telling him what was going on and discerning the thoughts and intents of the heart. You know, even as Christians, we always hinge on, well, you know, when Brother Dale's preaching or somebody's up here preaching and the sinner realizes certain things, which is good. But you know what? Even us with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, we need to be trained. We need to hear from God. We need to have our feet stepped on because of the little some things that we do.
Right.
Amen? Is that okay?
Right.
We still need that.
Sure.
Even when we're up here in the mature part, because remember, now look, Abraham gave Sarah away after he got seal of circumcision.
Yeah.
Come on, I got it right here. Genesis 19 and 20 and 21, 19 and 20. Even Scofield says Abraham's lapse at Gerar. That's where you get the point where Brother Brown says, here's this old woman, an old man making a 300 mile journey. But remember, God had already changed them back.
Right.
Then they go down and they meet the Pharaoh, who can have any woman he wants in the land. And he looks at Sarah, which is at that time like 90 years old, supposedly. And Brother Brown says, oh, there's Pharaoh saying, oh, that old grandma, I just love her. I think I'll take her to wife. And he's got 300 beautiful women behind him. No, she had been changed back to a beautiful young woman when they made that trip. But there was time that he lapsed right here. Abraham, there was still trash, remember, in Sister Shepherd's dream. There was trash being put out. What? This right here. Because we get up to adoption, you got to get up there to the top.
Right.
Amen? It came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac. So,
right.
Not Ishmael, not anything else that had happened anywhere else. Take Isaac, thine only son. Jesus Christ was what? The only begotten of the Father.
Right.
Amen? So take thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Now watch. On a mountain. On a mountain.
Right.
On a mountain. On a mountain is where God's going to tempt Abraham.
Right.
On a mountain, after he's went through 12 or 14 or 15 years of going fishing with this boy and hunting with this boy and teaching him all the things. And man, that's my, you know what? Abraham said, there's my promise.
Yeah.
Now he can become a father of nations because now he's a young man.
Right.
Yeah. Now God's telling you to take that young man that you've been dealing with all this time and go up and kill him. Abraham, look, he didn't question him either. Abraham rose up early in the morning, saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac, his son, clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went into the place of which God had told him.
Right.
Hey, Brother Brown said, watch this. Then on the third day, after he'd went through justification, sanctification, baptism, Holy Ghost, on a higher plane that we don't have time to get into now. But on the third day, they weren't there. Read your Bible. On the third day, they weren't there. They looked up and saw where they were going. So after the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you got to go to that mountain. You still got to go up to that mountain. Then on the third day, Abram lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, watch this, and come again to you. What a faith.
Right.
Now, in the back of his human mind, he heard God tell him he's going to take him up there one way and the boy ain't coming back. Right? Humanly. He said, go up there and sacrifice. Take him to that mountain and sacrifice him. And you're not coming back down here. Watch. But here's Abraham. And the lad will go yonder, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship. Now, in order to worship, you got to have a sacrifice.
Right.
So he's saying something here, and it looks like he's contradicting himself, but he's not. He's going to worship having faith that God's going to give him another something to do, another sacrifice or another animal.
Right.
Watch. And come again to you. And after Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac, in other words, in a prefigure of Christ putting the cross, the wood, on his shoulders, right?
Right.
We got to type Christ in this now because Isaac is the promised son. Everybody got that? Say amen.
Amen.
Don't go to sleep on me.
Right.
And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac, his son, and he took the fire in his hand. Who's the daddy? The daddy's typing Almighty God. He's got the fire. You can't have a sacrifice without fire.
Right.
The Holy Ghost and fire.
Right.
He took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. He said, behold the fire and the wood. But where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham said, my son, look, I misquoted this. I knew I did, so I'm going to get to it where I can really quote it. Watch. My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. God will provide himself a lamb. Now, to me, that's not saying God's going to provide a lamb. God will provide himself. Because that Lamb of God was God himself. He provided himself. That's what Brother Branham's saying, and I don't know if I brought it or not. We'll read it. But he said that wasn't Abraham talking. He said that was God speaking through Abraham. As Brother Dale's talking about now, that's not thus saith the Lord. That's not thus saith the Lord. That's Abraham saying, my son. Look how this adoption comes up, where adoption, remember, is not thus saith the Lord.
Right.
Adoption comes to you say.
Right.
My son, God will provide himself a lamb.
Right.
Can you just hear God standing there and all of a sudden the boy asks and then God just says, out of the way, Abraham. You don't understand this at the moment, but I'm going to speak through you and it's going to have to happen. See what this is about, coming to the adoption? He's going to speak to us and it's got to happen.
Right.
Oh, that's wonderful. So they went both of them together and they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar. Now, it doesn't say he was kicking and screaming. He just laid him on the altar. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord, capital L-O-R-D, called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. He said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And I love what a commentator said about it. Said, look, he was caught in a thicket of thorns. Because when Jesus went to the cross, he had a crown of thorns caught on his head. Because that types of Christ being crucified, right? in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place what? Jehovah Jireh.
Right.
It is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of the heaven the second time and said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of the enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. And I believe Brother Brown, maybe not in this one, but he says that. He says he was in Philadelphia one time. He said, see, he said, in thy seed shall all of Philadelphia be blessed. And then he was another place in Los Angeles. He said, now God said, thy seed, all nations, all of Los Angeles shall be blessed. Same way with here today. Because what? Thou hast obeyed my voice. Obeyed my voice. Everybody got that? Say amen.
Amen.
But now remember, the story continues on, but let's stop right here and read a couple of quotes from Brother Branham. Number 9, we'll be done right here. 9 and 10. All right. The 7 compound names of Jehovah. Now when he appeared to Abraham in the form, he said, now Abraham, I give you this little boy, Isaac. Just a sweet little chap of about 16 years old. Don't tell his mother, but I want you to. I'm going to make you a great blessing out of this boy. I'm going to bless all nations. I've promised you this for 25 years now, and you've waited till Isaac's born. Now I tell you what I want you to do with Isaac. I want you to take him up there and kill him. Now you go on back in the mountains to a place where I'll show you, and then you kill him back there. Well, now Abraham didn't question God. He knowed that God promised that through that boy he would bless all nations. And if God was going to bless them, whether he was dead or alive, he'd do it, that's all. And it had to come through there, so God was able to keep his promise. So he gets up the next morning, got a couple of servants, saddled a mule, and he and the boy and the servant went on back. And way back 3 days' journey. Think how far back in the wilderness. Now remember, in your journey, you've got to continue in your journey. So they went to this mountain, and he told the servants, now you watch this little mule for me, my boy and I, are going up on this mountain, and we're going to worship. And the boy and I will return. He says that twice. The boy and I will return. He was going to kill him. How's he going to? He didn't know, but God had promised somehow, see. Now let's read this last one. We'll be done. Musicians, get ready to come. Possessing the gates of the enemy. And in Genesis 22:15, we read, and the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time. He said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son. That in blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven, and as the sand upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemy. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Now may the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Now I'd like to take, if you should be called a text, my subject this morning, first is testing before promise gates. And the subject is possessing the enemy's gates. Now this is what he said. God had been testing the patriarch because he had given him a promise. And when God gives you a promise, he's going to test you.
Right.
And when God makes a promise, he wants to be sure that that person is worthy of the promise. Before he fulfills what he said or what he promises. So Abraham had been promised that through his seed the whole world would be blessed. That he'd have a son, and this son, out of him would come forth a seed. Now that's capital S, so we know he's talking about Christ. That would bless the whole earth. And Abraham, when the promise was given to him, was 75 years old. And Sarah, his wife, was 65. But the Bible tells us that Abraham staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong, giving praise to God. And God, time after time, tested him, but he'd come to that final test before the blessing was going to happen. I believe that's where we're at today. That final test before the blessing will come to the people, to us, the seed of Abraham. That's the way it is with all the seed of Abraham. God gives us that final test just before he gives the promise.
Amen.
And if it's possible, I'd like to say something here personally, but I'll withhold that. That final test to see how you'll react upon it. And when he had given Abraham this test, he found Abraham just as true as he was when he started. That's what he's looking for now. People that are as true as it was when this thing started. Musicians, come. Next Sunday, if you want to read the book of Ruth, you can. We'll talk about Ruth. It'll be the same thing, because Ruth goes through deciding. Ruth goes through serving. Ruth goes through resting. And Ruth goes through rewarding. Abram went through deciding to leave his place and go with God, serving God in a capacity that nobody else has served him before, because he just got up and walked with God. Then number three, where Jesus says, come ye all labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Brother Brown said, that's the new birth. It's not a day. A rest of the believer is a new birth. So Ruth, what did Ruth do? She rested, and what happened? Boaz went and did the work. So we know it's God doing the work, not us. Amen? And then what was she rewarded with at the end? She was rewarded with a child through Boaz. And then that child was given to Naomi. And we'll see that, how that types Sunday. So God bless you. That's what the four stages of Abraham's journey: justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost, and then getting rewarded by the promised son, going to the next stage, or going to the adoption part, where Abraham now believes. Now, sure, he believed before, but your faith is built more and more as you keep going. Listen, one thing's for sure before we sing. God will never devalue your faith. Satan will. In other words, Satan will make you doubt. Now, God's never going to make you doubt your faith. Now, he's going to put you through something like he did Abraham. But he's not, what did he do? He did that to build Abraham's faith. He's never going to do anything to make you doubt your faith. That's not God. He wants you to what? He's going to give you a little test that tests your faith. But what did it do to Abraham? It made him a better person. Same way with you and I. It makes you a better person as you walk. As you walk with God, it just keeps more and more and more and more making you a better person. So God bless you. Let's sing a song. What you got there, Shorty?
Won't it be a time?
Can you sing that?
Won't it be a time? Won't it be a time? Talking with the angels. Won't it be a time?
What'd he say?
Well, I looked at my hands, and my hands were new. And I looked,
Brother Jewel says, at my feet,
and they were too. And I looked all around me, all around me.
Listen for you, Brother Jewel.
Won't it be a time? Oh, won't it be a time? Time.
Look at it again.
Well, I looked at my hands, and my hands were new. And I looked at my feet, and they were too. I looked all around me, all around me shine.
Oh,
won't it be a time? Talking with the angels, won't it be a time? Oh, won't it be a time? Oh, won't it be a time?
Go down the parking lot, y'all get outside and do it. They'll think you're crazy.
Oh, won't it be a time?
Oh,
talking with the angels, won't it be a time?
looked at my hands, and my hands were new.
Sarah?
And I looked at my feet, and they were to
Abraham.
And I looked all around me, all around me shine. Oh, won't it be a time?
Oh, won't it be a time?
We're talking with the angels. Won't it be a time?
I didn't think anybody could sing that, Brother Joel. You did a good job, man. That was good. Good job. Brother Michael, goodness gracious. Brother Joel, that's for you, buddy. I hope you can hear that. But won't it be a time? You always think about that, you know. You always look at what happened with Sarah and Abraham, you know. I've always said that Abraham probably wondered, where'd that pretty girl come from? And she said, well, I wonder where that pretty guy comes from. I remember you about 60 or 70 years ago looking like that, but, oh, man. That's why we got them people downstairs. I was looking at them the other day. They were all those down there. We need to get one for Brother Dick and put it down there at 18 to 20 years old because we won't see them old anymore.
That's right.
Now, look, Abraham got old again and died. Lazarus was resurrected and died. But you and I, the promise we have is that we don't have to die. That we're going to walk into what? A change of the body. And it's going to be right here.
Right.
Not waiting some other time, but right here.
That's right.
But won't it be a time?
Glory.
And then poor old angels, I say poor old angels, they aren't going to know because they never had a change. They've never had to walk in old bodies before. But you and I have.
Right.
Well, some are getting there. Right. But some of us, you know, you've had places that hurt you didn't even know you had as you get older.
Yeah.
But you'll never be that anymore. Brother Dick will never have to say, oh,
right,
when he gets up out of that chair. He's over there now, and he's doing the same thing. And you know, knowing Brother Dick, he's found somebody to talk to.
Right.
And Brother Gary's over there listening to him. Brother Richard Marlowe's sitting there going, man, okay, this is what you were when you were a young kid,
right,
when you were a young guy. So that's wonderful, but God bless you. Love you with the love of the Lord. Wednesday night, remember Brother Bob preaching for us, and keep everybody in prayer. I'll kind of let you know who... the 10 or 12 that we're going to have, we kind of upped it a little bit because we're able to sit 6 feet apart, continue to wash your hands, wear the face mask if you're sick, and be careful out there, you know. Satan would love to destroy us, but we got a promise. Abraham, he just put them blinders on, and he saw that mountain. He said, I've been through all this journey. I've been through every bit of that. And I think in his human mind, he thought all the way back to that day that God called him in Gerar when he was Abram. And he said, Abram, walk. Then he said, Abram, walk before me and be perfect. Then Abram, you have nothing to do with this. I'm going to now make you Abraham. And I'm going to give you a sign that I'm with you. And then I'm going to give you the promised son when I come and meet you in human flesh. And then now you're standing on top of a mountain. And God provided himself. God went to Calvary and provided himself a sacrifice for each one of us to be able to start the journey and to continue it all the way to the very end. So God bless you. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day that you give us. We appreciate the time we've had. We thank you for the ones that are here, the ones that are out in the parking lot, Lord. We pray again that you would be with us. Sanctify us for this journey that we're on, Lord. Keep us together in you. Be with the ones that are outside, Lord. The ones that are watching in. Father, we pray that you just be with each one, Father, until we come back together. Give Rob the words of eternal life for Wednesday night, Lord, that we'll come and listen and be attentive. Lord, may we bind closer to you. I know Satan's got us all separated by distances, but Lord, distance means nothing to you, Father. I pray that you just be with us. Keep our pastor safe, Lord, and keep him from any kind of sickness, Lord. We pray that you'd bless him. Take care of them. Be with each one, Lord, on the highways on the way home. And, Lord, don't let this storm come like they're saying it's going to come. Last Sunday, it tore up a bunch of houses and about 30-something people passed away. But Lord, I pray that that will not happen this Sunday, Lord. We need a little rain. We all do. But, Lord, not the strong winds and the power outages that was last time, Father. You're a merciful God. And we have not because we ask not. And Lord, we ask in the name of Jesus Christ that number one, you'll take care of that. And number two, that you'll, again, stay this plague away from the people and that all the hospitalizations will go down and the death rates will go down, Lord. And Lord, you knew all this was coming. Lord, so I pray that you would educate us by revelation to the time that we're living in right now, just like you did with Abraham. Father, just give us this daily bread. We love you for all the things you've given us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you and go with God. Be careful.
Won't it be a time?